Well, hello, and welcome to this service in Unity Center of Light located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today and invite you to join us in the Zoom Fellowship following this message of meditation. In the Zoom Fellowship, you'll hear beautiful music, have a chance to discuss and ask questions about the message, and the fellowship with your Unity family. You can find the link for the Zoom Fellowship in your weekly update or your e-newsletter. Now, if you're not receiving our e-newsletter or weekly update, please see the information below by clicking on the Show More button for the URL for our website where you can give us your information and we can put you on the list to receive that. If you are spiritually fed by this message and meditation, please consider donating to Uni Center of Light. You can find the many ways of donating by clicking on the Show More link below. And we thank you in advance for all of your generous support. But now we are going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are willing and seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. So let's now begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence, active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, May the 8th. The key word is Mother's Blessing. And the affirmation is, I bless all mothers everywhere. The word mother brings to mind love, gentleness, nurturance, and compassion. Even if I did not experience these qualities from the woman who gave me life, I give thanks for them in everyone who has inspired me and touches my life. To my mother and everyone who has blessed me with a mother's care, I send love. I say a prayer of thanks for your presence in my life, for the sacrifices you made to give me the opportunity to grow and learn. You taught me the power of love and gentleness and the strength found in giving. You taught me above all to be true to myself. You are a leader who has taught me to lead by example. I send you thoughts of infinite love and peace as I join with others in gratitude and joy today. The scripture reading is taken from Proverbs 31:26, and it reads, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Amen. And now we will have this today's message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we're continuing with the Infinite Way journey to the abundant life, which we started with last week. And we're still talking about this idea of, you know, how do we live the spiritual life? And Reverend Kelly Isola, I was reading something by her, and she was saying, it seemed like as true students, we spend all of our time trying to reach this spiritual consciousness, you know. And it is. I mean, a lot of the things we talk about is all about how do we move from, let's say, the ego life to the spiritual life. So we're going to continue talking about that. And this idea of infinite way to the abundant life. You know, abundance takes on many forms according to the needs and the wishes of the individual. You know, a lot of times you say abundance right away, you jump to money. But it's a whole lot more than that. Abundance can be in the form of, you know, you want a loving relationship. You could have all the money in the world and you say, well, I don't have really loving relationships. Or it could be, you know, good health. It'd be some rewarding work that you like doing. Being able to travel, have a successful business, you know, time to do what you want when you want to do it without having to report to a job, okay? So abundance takes on all kinds of forms. So again, abundance is whatever we each need it or want it to be. However, abundance is a universal idea that lends itself freely to the interpretation of every one of us according to what our needs might be. Right. Now, if we go to the revealing word and look at it, it explains it from a metaphysical perspective. It says, abundance represents thoughts in our consciousness of the ever-present supply and support that God is in our lives. Abundance is invisible substance with a unique capacity, here it is, to expand when held in mind and affirmed and praised as the holy works of God. Okay? So to activate abundance in our lives, we must first recognize the ideas of abundance that we hold in our minds as being real. And every one of us have ideas of abundance in our mind, things we want to see unfold in our lives. But we have to hold them as being real with the power within them to actually manifest in our lives. So the revealing word says that in addition to having these thoughts in our minds, we must talk abundance. Choose words that express our inner feeling and knowing of the abundance we believe is ours by divine right, okay? Now, talk abundance doesn't mean you're actually talking to others about what it is you want to happen in your life necessarily. It's more that you have the exuberance, the joy that comes out of, you know, knowing that the abundance you're asking for is coming to you. So you talk from that energy of abundance. Now, when you do that, this builds up for us a consciousness of abundance that has the power, here's that word, to expand throughout our mind, body, and soul. Again, according to what abundance means for each one of us. So, the explanation of how abundance expands and increases within us as we affirm it in our minds gives some insight into the scripture in Luke 8:18. And I know you know this scripture, but you, like me, may not have fully understood what it was trying to say. So the scripture says, Luke 8:18, whoever has, more will be given. I know many of you can say this with me. But whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken away. Okay? Now, when you hear that verse and don't understand it, you kind of think, well, that's not right. Okay? That even if you don't have, what you have will be taken away. And, you know, we always think about this idea of people who have keep getting more and more. But there's a consciousness behind that. So what this means, as you know, as we just said, when you do the prayer and affirmation work to build a consciousness of abundance, it expands throughout your being, giving you more abundant thoughts and ideas, as well as drawing more opportunities for abundant living into your life, okay? Thus, as the scripture says, it causes more to be given. So an abundant consciousness expands throughout your whole being, okay? And so you become sort of an energy of abundance, okay? And you just begin to draw more of ideas and opportunities into your life. It's the same as the axiom, like begets like, or thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind. Okay, it's that same idea. Thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind. So if you have abundant ideas in mind, it keeps producing more abundant ideas in mind. So an abundant consciousness draws ideas and opportunities that are like itself. Again, as it was expressed in that scripture, more will be given. But on the other hand, if instead of affirming the abundance of God in your life in the form of what you truly desire, you're filled with thoughts of emotions of fear and whatnot. Fear has a tendency to cause us not to expand, but to contract, which will cause us to reject ideas and opportunities that would lead to the abundance we desire. So a person who is thinking abundantly also has the inspiration to act on abundant ideas. But a person who has whose mind is filled with fear in one form or another, okay, according to whatever it is being applied to in their lives, that causes them to contract. So even when opportunities show up, they won't take advantage of them, okay? And that's what the scripture is explaining. Whoever does have, even what they think they have, will be taken away. And it is not something called God that takes it away. That's important to understand. Or prevents our desired good from coming into our lives. Rather, it is our own thoughts, feelings, and emotions that block the flow of abundance into our lives, whatever that desired abundance may be. So this calls for us to constantly ask ourselves, what am I focused on? What are the thoughts that I hold in my mind? Okay. And you know what I mean. You know, you ever catch yourself sometime thinking something, you go, why am I thinking that? Okay. So we always want to be focused on what is going on in our minds. The infinite way to abundant living requires constant vigilance over our thoughts, words, and actions. And again, I agree. This can be exhausting. And that's what Reverend Kelly Isola was saying, that it can be exhausting to constantly be, you know, thinking, what's going on in my mind? I need to change my thought, that whole process. It can be exhausting, okay? But it can be exhausting until it is not, okay? Until it is not exhausting. Meaning once we get into the groove of staying aware of what's going on in our inner life, it begins to become a natural process for us to ask ourselves if the thoughts we're holding in mind are really representative of what we want to happen in our lives. Simply, do we have an unshakable faith that everything is in divine order and working out for the best of all concerned? Or are we of the mindset that if anything can go wrong, it will? You know what I mean, okay? So to explore this further, let's look at what is a standard foundation book in all of Unity by Emily Cady called Lessons in Truth. Okay, and this is what she says. One of the unerring thoughts in the universe is that there is already provided a lavish, abundant response to our wants and needs. Already being provided an abundant response to our wants and needs. In other words, the supply of every request always awaits the demand. So that the supply is ready. It's there, waiting, okay? It's waiting for us to demand it. Now, this may cause us to scream out, but I have been demanding. I have been letting God know what I want or need. What is God waiting for? How many people have asked that question? What is God waiting for? What else does God want me to do? Well, if we reflect back to last week's lesson where we explored the verse in Revelation 3:20. So let's review that. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to them, and I will sup with them, and they with me." Just a little funny thing on the side. I looked up the word sup because I wanted to expand on it a little, and I kept getting the definition that sup is short for what's up. Right? So I was like, all right, this is not doing anything for me, so I just went on. So anyway, so this scripture is an acknowledgement from God. God being God being the absolute principle of good expressing in our lives. And this absolute principle of good, which cannot be anything else but what it is telling us that it is knocking at the door of our mind, asking us to open the door and let us in. Okay. Now, this next part, I thought I'd make a slide out of it because I want you to be able to follow what I'm saying. So when we do the prayer work to convince our ego mind, which is the guardian at the door it created between itself and God, to have the faith to open the door, God the good omnipotent will enter in and sup with us, meaning help us understand how to embrace and use the gifts God brings to us. Okay. Now notice what I'm saying here. As the ego is a guarding at the door it created between itself and God, okay? So the key to this, as we know, these gifts come in the form of divine ideas and answers to questions we have, as well as outright healing of that in us that needs to be healed. Sometimes what we're asking for is a certain kind of healing. It could be physical healing, it could be emotional healing, whatever, okay? Healing of forgiveness, whatever. But those are the things that can come to us when we can get our ego to open that door which it has created that blocks us from the good that God is. And don't let yourself play God short. Because as Jesus told us in Matthew, when it comes to, I don't know if God can, sometimes you think, I don't know if God can do anything about this. Do not let yourself play God short. Because as Jesus told us in Matthew 19:26, and you say it with me, with God, all things are possible. Okay? So now, keeping this verse in mind, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and I will sup with them, and they will be with me. Keep that in mind. If you're wondering why you are not receiving the answers to your prayers, it is not because God is not responding. Rather, it is because we are not opening the door. Now, here's the chilling part of this whole thing. All that we are asking for is being piled up for us on the other side of the door created by the skeptical ego. You hear what I'm saying? Okay? So it's not that God's not answering our prayers, it's that the ego is standing guardian at this door. Okay? So these things, but everything that we've asked for in prayer, God has been giving it. Okay? It's piling up on the other side of that door, just waiting for us to develop the faith and the courage to open the door. And just think about it. On our side of the door are thoughts like fear and worry and doubt. Okay? Even when things are going good, there's this fear that something might happen. Okay? But on the other side of the door, meanwhile, on the other side of the door is the realm of faith. Now, stay with me with this thought. So our side of the door is also always some kind of fear going on. Okay? Some kind of doubt, some kind of worry about some aspect of something that's going on in our lives or going on in the world. Okay? But on the other side of the door, created by the ego, okay, is the realm of faith. So when we have the courage to open the door, regardless of how fearful we may be, we then expose ourselves to the realm of faith on the other side of the door. You get what I'm saying? So you might say, well, I just can't have the faith that what I'm asking for, a need or whatever is going to happen. That's okay. When you can get that ego to let you open that door, okay, then you are exposed to the realm of faith. And you will be bathed in faith. And that faith will wash away all that you are going through. It'll wash away anything that we think, you know, that cannot be solved, okay? So that's the whole idea of the idea of opening the door. So the answer to our question, how do I become faith-filled? It is by opening the door to the realm of faith and allowing ourselves to become bathed in the faith of God. Okay? And this is how the Revealing Word explains it. It says, faith is the perceiving power of mind linked with the power to shape substance. It's the perceiving power of mind. So you'll be able to perceive and know and see that which you think you want in your life. It is spiritual assurance, the power to do the seemingly impossible. It is a magnetic power that draws unto us our heart's desire from the invisible spiritual substance. Okay? Faith is a deep knowing that what we're seeking is already ours for the taking. Okay, and it draws unto us our heart's desire from the invisible spiritual substance that's on the other side of that door. Okay, so it has a lot to do with getting the ego to release this hold that it has on us and blocking us from actually knowing that what we're asking for is coming into our lives. Okay, and yes, on our ego side of the door that is filled with fear, worry, doubt, and confusion, it is wonderful to hear these explanations of how faith works, okay? But it's a whole other thing to truly live in faith, okay? And the goal of the Infinite Way to Abundant Living is to do the work, to have the courage to open the door, or more specifically, to take our mental, emotional foot off the door so that it swings easily inward towards us, revealing to us all that God is and all that God has in store for us. Remember, we're asking, God is supplying, but it's supplying on the other side of the door. This door, in Scripture, is called a veil, okay? And if you remember when Jesus was crucified, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, okay? The same analogy. That veil was keeping us from seeing, knowing, and experiencing God is in us as us, right? And we're using this other analogy that the ego has this its mental, emotional foot on the door, keeping it from swinging easily in towards us, revealing to us that what God is and all that God has in store for us. And the answer to the question, how do I take my mental, emotional foot off the door and expose the glory of God in my life? Well, we say it every week. We must become willing to let God come in and commune with us. And it's important to note that, you know, we do not have to follow, we do not have to follow the guidance that we receive. Let me say that again. It's important to note that when we open that door, because sometimes it's fear. The ego is thinking, well, it's going to have me want to do something that I don't know if I want to do, like forgive, let go, or whatever it might be, okay? But we do not have to follow the guidance we receive. Let me say it again. We do not have to follow the guidance we receive. It is always up to us to trust or not trust the guidance from the Holy Spirit. Now again, let's acknowledge there is so much happening in what Jesus called this world. If you've been watching the news, it's like crazier and crazier. There's so much happening with what Jesus called this world that as much as we want to sit and commune with the Holy Spirit, it is just not always easy to let go of the outer life so that we can comfortably and willingly commune with the inner spiritual life. And we are all familiar with the scripture in Matthew 6:25 and Luke 12:22. Here Jesus counseled us not to worry about our lives. You know, do not worry about your life, what you wish to put on, what you will wear. All right. But how do we do that? Well, the way to live our life without worrying is to learn how to live, and listen to this term, the co-eternal life. This is where we train ourselves through daily prayer and practice to allow our mind to coexist with the eternal nature of God. We learn through daily practice to live the co-eternal life. It's something we got to do every day, working with this process of prayer and meditation. Remember I said a couple of weeks ago, doesn't mean you have to sit somewhere in the silence. You're doing this all through your day, okay? And remember, what we studied in last week's lesson is nothing fancy is needed. Okay, when we talk about prayer and meditation, don't be trying to figure out, you know, let me start reading some books about how to pray, how to meditate. Nothing fancy is needed. No fancy words are needed to encourage the co-eternal life. All that's needed is silent listening. And if you need to use words either, you know, out loud or in your mind, then let me just review what we said last week. Just say the prayer. Reveal to me who you are so that I know how to recognize your guidance. Keep me in forgiveness with myself and with others so that I do not fall into fear. I know you are in charge of my life and affairs, so I listen for your guidance. Okay? Nothing fancy is needed. All right? However, the listening part is fairly easy. Okay? Learning how to listen is fairly easy. But I admit that the doing part is where the challenge comes in. So to live the co-eternal life takes a tremendous amount of work. For example, you do not love only when it is easy. You love God love, which is eternal. Remember, you're striving for the co-eternal life. You do not have faith only when it is convenient or easy. You live from God faith, which is eternal. You do not forgive only when it is easy. You live from the forgiveness that God is. It is through daily practice in all aspects of your life that you learn how to live the co-eternal life. And this is how you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It's written in Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Not power as a gift from the Holy Spirit, but the power that is the Holy Spirit. And if you find it difficult to get right with God, it is because you refuse to make the moral decision to allow God to be eternally present in your life. But once you decide to let go and let God be eternally present in all of your life and affairs, the full life of God comes into your mind, your heart, and your life, and it comes immediately. Okay? So all of our lives, we've been trying to define God and determine what, you know, having God in our life looks like. There's so many different definitions for God. But language places limitations on our mind. God, the unlimited, cannot come forth into full expression through that which is limited. Okay? Words can never express what God is. The words we formulate for God can never bind that which is unbindable. So in other words, we cannot corral God with our words into neat little definitions. Any good we experience from prayer and affirmation is not because we successfully captured God and formed God into our wishes. Rather, it is because we uncaptured or released the natural innate abundance that abounds within each of us. Okay? So prayer and affirmations do not activate God in our lives. Let me say that again. Prayer and affirmations do not activate God in our lives. Why? Because God is omniactive, always answering our prayers based on the nature of our thoughts, words, and actions. And Unity teaches that prayer and meditation are the methods used to unlock the door of our mind and let the omnipresent power and presence of God in. Okay? So once we are aware that God is truly in our mind and our heart and our life, we will live consciously in the eternal presence that God is. And nothing will be able to take that away from us. We will have co-eternal life with God. And as it is said in the reading in my Utmost for His Highest, it says, even the weakest saint can experience the power of the deity of the Son of God when he or she is willing to let go. But any effort to hang on to the least bit of your own power will only diminish the life of Christ within you. So, as true students, our work is to watch our fearful thoughts carefully and mindfully, as they are an indication that somewhere in our consciousness we do not quite yet believe that God is eternally present. And when Jesus' parents were worried about him, you know, asking where was he responded, did you not know that I have to be about my Father's business? That's Luke 2:49. Did you not know that I have to be about my Father's business? Likewise, it is our work to be about our Father's business. And as we learn how to be more about God's Spirit, Holy Spirit business than ego business, we will find ourselves working more part-time for ourselves and more full-time for God. And if we can persevere, if we can maintain our focus, we will awaken one day to find ourselves full-time workers of the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus did. Okay? And then when life tries to knock us off course, we will be able to proclaim with our elder brother in Wayshore, I remain about my Father's business because I and my Father are truly one. And I am living the co-eternal life with God. And listen to this reading from Ernest Holmes, again, the book that I used last, 365 Science of Mind. He's describing what the co-eternal life feels like. And that's what he says. It is like beautiful, uplifting feelings of harmony, peace, and love flowing through you like a river, elevating your consciousness to a new and higher level of acceptance and unity. And sweetheart, there's one more. Okay. The affirmation for this week that what I want us all to focus on from Science of Mind magazine, May 7th, which was yesterday, Saturday. And this is what it says. One more, sweetie, go ahead. Okay. It says, I am thankful to be able to see rightly while listening to the wisdom in my heart. I am thankful to be able to see rightly while listening to the wisdom in my heart. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity Family, I ask that you gently close your eyes and relax your bodies. This is our time to get in touch with Spirit in gratitude for all that has been done in and through us. Let's take in 3 deep cleansing breaths, in and out, helping our minds and bodies to become more relaxed and at peace. Take a deep breath in and exhale. Deep breath in. And release. Once again, deeply in. And release. Continue with your rhythmic breathing and feel yourself being lifted to that secret place of the highest, this special place of love, peace, joy, and faith. Be prepared now to let go of any emotional, mental, or physical baggage that is weighing you down and not serving who you are meant to be. Please take the following words as your very own. Gentle Spirit, I enter the gate of this sacred place and take a seat, settling down in the truth that you are here and only good can come to me. I am sure that it is my time to release everything that is blocking my way to this path that you have prepared for me, and that I am truly destined to walk, never looking back. Today, on Mother's Day, I honor the Divine Feminine by calling forth 12 holy women of the Bible, each with a particular quality that helped her to effectively serve God. Today, I call forth the joyfulness of Miriam, the charity of Sarah, the courage of Queen Esther, the love of Ruth, the persistence of Rachel, the strength of Rebecca, the service of Elizabeth, the faith of Mary, Mother of Jesus, the loyalty of Mary of Bethany, the hospitality of Martha of Bethany, the commitment of Mary Magdalene, the generosity of the Samaritan woman at the well. I have within me the qualities that are represented in honoring the Divine Feminine. I need only to call them forth, get in touch with them, and claim them for my own. Now, in this spirit, let us take a deep breath, release it, and remain in the silence together. We are grateful, Holy Spirit, for all these blessings that continue to flow into our lives, and may forever we remember the Divine Feminine that exists in us all. In the name and nature of our Elder Brother and Wayshower, Jesus Christ, we say, Amen, and so it is, and forever shall be. And when you are ready, come back to the space and time.
Thank you, hon. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. And again, for those who are listening on YouTube, if you've been touched by this message and meditation, we are so thankful for the offerings and blessings you send to Unity Center of Light. And we're going to say our offering blessing together. We ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. Amen. All right. Now you have light notes.
Okay. Yes. I have light notes for Sunday, May the 8th. The Women of Unity will be having a potluck at the home of Brenna McDonough. That's this coming Saturday, May 14th, with a rain date of May 21st. The time is 2:30 p.m., and we ask that you email me, Pamela, at pamosby@msn.com to let me know what entree you will be sharing. This event will be in the backyard of Brenna's home, and also spaces provided inside for about 25 people. This coming, actually tomorrow, is the last day that you can let me know if you are going to attend. Next Sunday, Safi will be our musical guest, and Paul Hasselbeck is our guest speaker for Sunday, May 22nd. His topic is Metaphysics for Today. Following the service, Paul will lead a workshop at 1 p.m. called Metaphysical Romp, an expansion of the Sunday message. Our music on that day will be the duo called Quiet the Mountain. That's Jimmy Stewart and Christian Alfonso. They'll be on guitar and vocals. This promises to be an exciting day, so please mark your calendars. And the Booklight Book Club will meet on Sunday, June the 12th, to discuss the book What Happened to You? Conversations on Trauma, Resilience, and Healing by Oprah Winfrey and Bruce Perry. Join the group from 1 to 4. More details on the book may be found in your weekly update. And that concludes our announcements.
Again, and just for our listening audience that may not be totally familiar with Unity, Paul Hasselbeck is considered one of the most knowledgeable people in Unity in the whole work field of metaphysical interpretation Bible. So please avail yourself of being here to hear that that incredible message that I know he's going to share. So now we are ready to
bless the path that we walk this week. And we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal,
and gusto. All right. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful. And now we're going to do our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today from Unity here in Bowie, Maryland. And we look forward to seeing you in the Zoom session, Zoom fellowship right after this. Otherwise, have a wonderful Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
And we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.